It's our mission to deliver the capability the fleet needs at a cost we can afford. And on today's Airwaves podcast, we're diving into the cost portion of that statement to better understand why, in a time of reduced budgets, we need to think differently, be creative, and find new and innovative ways to help our warfighters regain the competitive advantage. Welcome to Airwaves, the official podcast of the Naval Air Systems Command. I'm your host, Michael Lauren Prue. And joining us today to talk about the Naval Sustainment System cost pillar and how it is helping us to change the way we do business is Ms. Ann Wood, Director, NAVAIR Sustainment Group, and Mr. David George, Comptroller for the Naval Air Warfare Center Aircraft Division. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for inviting us. Yeah. Great to be here.
Thank you, Michael. This is a great topic.
Absolutely. So, Ann, tell us, what is the purpose of the Naval Sustainment System cost pillar, and what outcomes are we really trying to achieve?
Well, the real purpose of everything that we do is all centered around, A, deterring our adversary, B, responding in crisis, and then C, winning decisively in combat and war. So everything that we do should be centered around those things that our CNO talks so dearly about, the war fighting, war fighters, and infrastructure. And in order to do that, we have to do so within the funds that are given to us. And right now, we cannot afford everything that's being asked of us within the budgets that we have. So we have to think, act, and operate differently in order to deliver those capabilities that the fleet needs and the availability they need at a cost we can afford.
Perfect. So David, why is the Naval Aviation Enterprise cost pillar work so important?
Ultimately, I believe it's important because the cost pillar efforts create a broader and deeper understanding of where and how resources are utilized to enable better decision making. The warfighter is better off each and every time that we can improve our decision making. That's why the cost pillar work is important. It's another avenue for us to benefit the warfighter.
And it seems right now costs are certainly going up. Budgets are coming down. How will the cost pillar continue to help us deliver the capability the fleet needs at a cost we can afford?
Well, really, with our budgets, it's more flatlining, but it does seem like they're almost being reduced because our requirement continues to outgrow the pace at which our budgets are increasing. We're barely being able to keep up with inflation. So what the cost pillar has done, it really helps us to understand what those unfunded requirements that we have that we're carrying and look at everything that we're doing and saying, hey, are we using every dollar that we have to the best of its ability to get those requirements that we really need in order to achieve those things we talked about before. And that's really what the cost pillar is getting after.
So how does the cost pillar tie into the Navy's Get Real, Get Better movement?
Get Real, Get Better is about having a true and deep understanding of an issue so as to be able to attack the root causes and to improve the situation. The top line issue in the cost pillar is attacking the Navy's purchasing power. Upward cost pressures are always in existence, and resources are not infinite. So getting to a true and deep understanding of our costs enables the NAE to attack the root causes to improve purchasing power. So the key tenets of GRGB have a direct applicability in cost pillar efforts. We are trying to understand the root causes of those upward cost pressures, to understand what is driving our decision making, and to attack those items so as to improve the effectiveness of our purchasing power on behalf of the department.
With the Get Real, Get Better movement, transparency has been something that is so crucial to the success of any of our efforts, whether it was getting after the 341 aircraft we needed for Super Hornets, or this going after $2 billion in savings. When we initially started Cost Pillar, it was to identify the areas that we could close that $2 billion gap between what the total requirement was and what our funding was. And so we have done really well over the last 4 years in helping close that gap and actually setting very aggressive goals, acting transparently, sharing our information across all of the PEOs and PMAs, our warfare centers and our FRCs, and truly embracing the red, right? When we hit $1 billion in savings last year, I don't think there were many of us that would have said we could have done that in that time frame, and we did. And it was an all-hands effort. And then, of course, truly to be data-driven, right? That driving us to be data-driven across all the different lines of accounting we have can be very confusing to people working within the system. But this process has also actually increased the business acumen of our workforce, because we've had to say, hey, if we're going to get a savings here in reliability, how does that actually impact the flying hour account? How does that impact NavSup? How does that cut across all? So I think it's been quite a learning experience for all of us.
Now, you've certainly both mentioned the criticality of cost savings to the success of naval aviation, but how does finding efficiencies in those savings really benefit the fleet?
What makes this different is when we started this, the vice chief of naval operations at the time had said that any savings that are generated within naval aviation will stay within naval aviation. Now, the chief of naval operations kept to that commitment as well. So that has been, I think, very good for our workforce, because typically we're incentivized to spend all of our money, right? And now we're saying, you don't have to spend it all, right? Be very judicious about it. Let us know what savings are generated, and we're going to reward that behavior. That is totally opposite how we've operated for many, many years.
And generating that $1 billion worth of savings has ultimately enabled program offices to buy additional capabilities, to provide additional services to the fleet, to the warfighter, that otherwise would not have been provided. So the efforts are having a real impact on the ability of the programs to provide more than what they initially thought they could to the fleet.
Speaking of doing things differently, how does the cost pillar encourage us to do business differently? And how does it help us identify innovative ways to reduce cost?
So cost pillar has really removed stovepipes. Quite often we each think of our own jobs in the context of our own jobs, the environment surrounding them. Bringing together people from all across the enterprise, sharing information openly and transparently, it's increased everyone's understanding. It's increased everyone's business acumen to look at not only how we do our own jobs optimally, but also to think about our jobs in the broader context of the NAE ecosystem and how we can impact and how we do impact on a daily basis the overall operations of the NAE. So having new tools available to us, new ways to look at the information that we have available to us, has really changed the way that people see the interdependencies that maybe they didn't realize existed before. And that is really helping us to do business differently and to have commitment from leadership that the benefits will stay within the aviation community so that there's the incentive to be able to go after it, get those savings, and realize that your office and your office's customers are ultimately going to be the beneficiaries of it. I don't think there's any better motivation than that.
Now, Anne, what behaviors are key to success?
I think the single most important behavior for us to be successful is trust. We have to really trust in the process. We have to trust in each other that we're going to do the right thing for naval aviation. And it's really trusting the cost pillar governance of how it actually money gets reallocated. There's a lot to be said about trust, because I'm sure people are more willing to offer up opportunities for where there could be some cost savings if they trust that where that money is going to go will be used for the benefit of the fleet. And so I think that's really important. Teamwork is super important here, because we don't do anything by ourselves, right? We have a tendency at NAVR to stay and work within our own functional areas, but what we're finding with this effort, it really is across all the functional areas and the commands working together to get after the real savings. Another thing we talk about is the abundance mindset. We've got roughly between $32 to $40 billion. And if you look across the fleet account as well, it's roughly about $50 billion annually that we have within the enterprise. And so I think we can get after all the high priority requirements. We just need to make sure that we are all judiciously spending that money on the fleet priorities. This really is an all-hands effort to make sure we're being judicious in how we do spend our money.
I think anytime any of us comes forward with a new idea, we're putting ourselves out there, right? It's that feeling of that personal risk, but now we're also talking about the resources of the offices that we work in. So that trust is paramount to this process. everybody has to trust that they're not going to get burned through this process. And I believe that the cost pillar has had 4 years of building that trust, 4 years of showing that leadership is committed to the principles that it has put out, that we will maintain the benefits, we will derive the benefits within the naval aviation enterprise. And that, to me, is something that has to be there in order for this to work.
So, David, let's talk about some of those success stories. What are some examples of where the cost pillar has made a positive impact?
Absolutely. It's been amazing to see the passion and the pride that logisticians have, that engineers have, that flight test engineers have, people in the business sectors of the Warfare Center and across all of the naval aviation enterprise. The stabilized glide slope indicator, a system on ships that hasn't been used for years. However, because it's on aviation certified ships, it's had to have been maintained. Individuals supporting PMA 251 came forward saying, what if we stopped maintaining that system, showing that it has no risk to the operations on the ship? As a result, the program office signed out a note canceling the requirement, and that enabled NAVSUP to immediately cancel a 5-year, $70 million contract for parts associated with the SGSI system. Training aviators. Project Avenger is the use of modeling and simulation to be able to cut down on the number of sorties that aviators have to fly in order to get and to maintain their certifications. So it's another example of attacking business from a different way. Scope changes in work has really cut down when we challenge the status quo of what has to be done, that can free up resources and has time and time again. Different coatings for engines are cutting down on corrosion, which will enable fewer repairs, fewer planned maintenance intervals for those engines. And one more example that I would offer is the E-drill, the electric drill, that helps to remove fasteners from aircraft with a lot less damage in a lot less time than traditional processes were doing. So there are a ton of examples across the entire spectrum of the NAE that are bringing benefits, cutting down on cost, cutting down on use of resources unnecessarily, and that's bringing great benefit to the organization as a whole. And to see these individuals talk about what they've created, talk about the conclusions that they have come to, it can be inspiring. It can recharge the battery to make it easier for us to keep coming to work each and every day.
What I thought was really interesting is when we first started the cost pillar, and you know, some people would say, well, I don't even own a budget. It's not even mine. But everything that we do has an impact on some type of budget. So the things that David had highlighted are real, right? Some of the things that happen in the warfare centers or at the FRCs, it's not necessarily their budget. By getting faster or getting more efficient, by reducing the time a project takes or by reducing the time a repair takes, but it has a positive impact on our appropriation somewhere. When I knew that this was real was when we first started and the first savings were generated and we had an account, we were actually pulling the cash out of those lines of accounting and putting them into what I'd call an escrow almost. And we did that, and it was from the flying hour account. The air boss was the first one to say, hey, you guys generated, and I'll speak specifically for F-18, you generated these savings by doing a reliability improvement project. And so the air boss said, you can take that money out of the flying hour account and put it into that, what I'd call escrow. By doing that, by taking that flying hour money, the air boss did something that we haven't done. I've only seen one other time in my time here at NAVAIR, where we actually use flying hour dollars to invest in the NAVAIR program teams so that they can continue to do great work. So I would give great kudos as we talked about the scalability of this. F-18 has done a great job of leading the way there and shared their learning across other program teams. NOC AD and WD have done great work on reducing their project costs or giving up their, you know, identifying opportunities for, hey, we probably could do this better. And it's resulted in savings within the program offices so that they've been able to reinvest that money. into other unfunded requirements that they had. And then COMFRC has done a wonderful job in reducing their turnaround times, which has had a positive impact on the modification accounts and the repair costs so that we can do more with the money we have. So what this really enables us to do is it increases the buying power of the NAE. While our top line doesn't go up, we're able to do more for the fleet with the money we have.
And extending Ann's comments, I think one of the best success stories we have here is there is no downside risk to coming forward with an idea. Maybe that's not been everyone's experience in their 15 years supporting naval aviation or 25 years or 35 years, but there is no downside risk. And that is an amazing accomplishment in and of itself, I believe, that leadership has created in creating an environment where the benefits will be derived and kept within the areas where the benefits have been created.
I love how both of you pointed out that no matter where we all sit within the organization, we can all have an impact by thinking differently, being creative, innovative on cost savings. That's so important. So what has impressed both of you the most about the Cost Pillar success stories?
For me, it's been seeing each individual story. Every initiative has a story behind it and has passionate people who are intellectually engaged in their jobs. And they have found a way to think differently in what they're doing. To me, that is hugely impressive that people are able to do that, break free from maybe the mold that they've been cast into in the type of work that they do, and come up with new and innovative ways to get the mission done, quite often with fewer resources ultimately being required. And within the aircraft division specifically, and I believe this applies across all of the portions of the NAE, it's really been a mindset shift. Have an outcomes-based view. Don't look at just the day-to-day functions. What are we trying to accomplish through these processes? What are we trying to get out to the fleet as a result of that work? Keep that outcome in mind. Let that guide all of our actions. And ultimately, that brings us to a better and faster outcome, quite often with fewer resources being required.
One of the things that most impress me are people coming forward with the small ideas, what would be, you know, it could save $70,000, whatever, all the way up to ones that are saving, and I would say hundreds of millions of dollars. And people are really challenging the status quo. And that's what is impressing me. There are things that we have made programmatic decisions on, and we tend to continue to throw good money after bad, even when we know that's not going to get us the capability we really wanted. And so bringing those things forward, it's very admirable and courageous of the folks to do that. And they have the full support of the team.
And that momentum has just been building over time. It's hard to get something like this started, and it takes a lot of discipline to keep it going. But I do believe, based on the weekly drumbeats, based on the quarterly HUD meetings, that there is a momentum that has been created, and that's something that I think will continue to build, and it's ultimately going to serve everyone better.
So what have we learned? How has the cost pillar helped us to better understand and improve our business?
We've learned a lot about the way we've operated in the past. We've learned a lot about the disconnects that we have had between different portions of the naval aviation enterprise. Each of us having that stovepiped view of what our responsibilities are and what we need to accomplish. What we've learned is how we have a ton of interdependencies that were not recognized in the past, and how each and every day, each of us can make an impact on the naval aviation enterprise. And we've learned how immensely people understand their work and what really adds value and what doesn't add value. And we've learned that people have the courage to come forward saying, I have a thought, I have an idea, I'm going to put myself out there in the hopes that I'm able to help improve the operations of the enterprise.
So let's talk challenges. What are some of the challenges to changing the way we do business? How will Cost Pillar help us overcome those challenges and change our behavior?
So I think the biggest challenge is fear. Fear of change, fear of putting yourself out there, fear of failure, right? And we overcome that by just doing, right? And we show minor successes and we continue to scale. And know that for the cost pillar and for everything we do within naval aviation, right, we've got to be courageous because it's the bright ideas of the people at all levels of the organization that make us successful. So it's really important that we as leaders are very inclusive, right? And we bring about that from even our most junior employees to get those really good ideas out there. And then fear of failure, that's something of the past. We're not going to succeed at everything we do, but we're going to learn from those things that we fail at and we'll be better next time.
Now, Anne, you mentioned leaders. What role does leadership play in enabling Cost Pillar success?
Well, this is something that cannot be delegated down. So we've got to lead from the front. It requires active engagement. Our job as leaders, and I believe that we are leaders at every level of our organization, we're all leaders, but is to remove barriers. Things that come up, we have to act upon. And if we can't fix them, we elevate them rapidly, right? And then I think the biggest thing is we need to challenge assumptions and status quo. We have to do that every day, 15 times a day, to make sure that we're getting after continuous process improvement throughout our organization, changing the behaviors and the mindset of all employees so that we are all trying to pursue the excellence that the fleet needs for us every single day. So leading from the front and active engagement is super important from all leadership.
Without setting that tone, there would not be anywhere near as much success here. Bringing in personnel from all levels, from all different backgrounds, allowing people to express their ideas in a safe environment has been huge. So setting that environment, maintaining that consistency, trying to get it instantiated in people's everyday thoughts, that's how the culture is going to change. And leadership has been consistent. Leadership has been setting that tone for the last number of years related to cost pillar activities. And that's why we're seeing the $1 billion plus of savings that Anne mentioned earlier. People are finding it beneficial. People are finding it an environment where they're willing and able to come forward with the ideas without that fear of rejection, without that fear of a downside risk. So leadership ultimately setting that tone from the top and being consistent within it so that everybody knows it is always on the forefront of their minds, that has a big impact on the workforce in total.
So what can our teams do to make a positive impact on fleet readiness and capability?
Well, our teams do a lot every day to have that positive impact, but what we are asking our teams to do is really we need all players on the field, right? We need all players on the field, not sit back and watch and see how this is going to play out, right? We don't have time for that. So we need everyone to think, act, and operate differently. We need to challenge the status quo. And I'm going to ask, please don't let any of your good ideas die on the vine, right? I like to say that every good idea has a time. And so there were things that I brought up maybe 15, 20 years ago. It wasn't the right time, but now is the right time. You have a team of leaders within the Navy that is willing to really challenge status quo on anything and take your ideas and move them forward.
I would offer what teams can do is continuously think about the why. Why am I doing this? What value is it bringing to the organization? What value is it bringing to the warfighter ultimately in the end? Bringing that questioning of why paired with an outcomes-based view is immensely powerful in ensuring that we're using the resources that we have available to us in the most effective manner that we can. So each and every team needs to realize it can and does have an impact on naval aviation. And actions that are taken every day, maybe questioning the status quo, thinking about things in a different way, will ultimately provide benefit to the warfighter.
All right, so how does the cost pillar encourage collaboration across organizations and functions?
The cost pillar has set up a number of forums where multiple components of the naval aviation enterprise get together on a routine basis, sharing thoughts, sharing lessons learned, bringing ideas to the forefront, debating the possibility of new endeavors to take on. So through that increased collaboration, through that increased transparency of communication, every single individual involved is getting a better understanding of the ecosystem. And it is encouraging us to learn from others. What someone may do in PEOA could have a direct applicability in the warfare centers. What someone is doing in CNAF may have a direct applicability in the fleet readiness centers. So that encouragement to learn from others, to provide each of us with insight into what others are doing, has a force multiplier impact on what each of us can accomplish in our jobs when we have heard from and when we have seen others doing things that maybe we hadn't thought of. So having those forums where we all come together talking about the business of the business, sharing insights that each of us have, sharing what each of us have tried, and allowing us to meet people that we've not met before has really increased and encouraged collaboration across organizations.
Now, if I have a good idea, where do I go?
So each command will have a staff member that is focused on affordability. Each PEO has a team member that is focused on affordability as well. So I would suggest working up through the chain of command within each command, each PEO. And in addition, the executive champion for this is Admiral Select Todd Evans. So he's always interested in getting ideas through and can push them back to the appropriate command or a program executive office to bring it to fruition. And if I could put in a quick plug, we're going to run a spark tank within the aircraft division focused on affordability. So in the June timeframe, we'll be soliciting ideas from personnel, hoping to get through and across the entire organization. And then in the August-September timeframe, NAWC AD leadership will make decisions on which ideas to pursue, even if investments are required. Maybe ideas have not come forward because folks have felt that investment money is not available, but there's going to be a commitment here from leadership as well. So work through your chain of command to get to those points of contact, or the other direction up to the executive champion, and his office can push the information back down to the relevant team members.
Now, you've both shared some great success stories throughout today's podcast. How have quick wins helped us to reduce cost and build momentum?
The quick wins are the, you know, the easy wins, low-hanging fruit. Those are the best, right? Because that doesn't require much effort. We proved to ourselves that we can do this. We had the fortitude to follow through the process, to pull the money, to reallocate to higher needs. And so I think that just got the flywheel spinning and then got the creative juices flowing across the team to figure out, hey, how else, you know, what else can we do? Cost pillar isn't just about generating savings. It also, you can come to the cost pillar where I have a great idea. I think it would save a lot of money, but it requires an investment. And so we have those discussions there as well. And we have found opportunities within one meeting where one group brought forth a cost savings opportunity within a certain color of money. And then, you know, 3 minutes or 10 minutes later, we had someone briefing, hey, if I had this money, I could produce more sonobuoys or whatever it was for the fleet. And we were able to make those almost real-time decisions to have immediate impacts. In these meetings, we're talking across PEOs, across programs and warfare centers. So those opportunities wouldn't have posed themselves any other way before. So that is one of the great things that by us starting small with those little quick wins and then has generated the trust in the process and the organization and broke it down stovepipes and has opened up this ecosystem. So we're really operating it as a business.
Those quick wins have, to me, really been that proof of concept. Can this approach really work? Will the trust be there? Will it be verified through the process? And as Anne mentioned, it has. And all that has done is build momentum in this effort in order to improve purchasing power. It really builds on itself. As people see the successes, as they see their coworkers go through this process and see how it has benefited their program office, how it has benefited their commands, that just builds a momentum for more and more people to want to come forward. It's been hugely important to see it exercised, that there isn't any downside risk to this endeavor. And those quick wins have really been that proof of concept for naval aviation.
David, I want to jump back to your comment on the why. Cospillar's been around for a few years now. Why is this work so important now?
It is hugely important to our future. The fleet needs to be able to win decisively if we ever get to that point of aggressive behavior from a competitor. So ensuring that every dollar is used as effectively as we can, ensuring that we are aligned across the entire naval aviation enterprise, ensuring that every player is on the field, intellectually engaged in their work, it is going to be one of the keys to success for the United States Navy if and when we ever get into that situation. That is why Cost Pillar is so important.
Absolutely. Such a great discussion today. Before we wrap up today's podcast, I just want to kind of have you both leave me with your final thoughts. What do you want our workforce to know about the Cost Pillar? Give me the takeaways.
So for me, Cost Pillar fits right into NAVAIR's slogan, make an impact. Each and every one of us can have a significant impact on the United States Navy. We can have a significant impact on each sailor, on every ship, for each aviator in each aircraft. That is what I want people to know, is that the Cost Pillar is another avenue for NAVAIR personnel to make an impact.
And for me, affordability is an all-hands effort. So collectively, we must all do our part to regain our competitive advantage so that we can deliver the capability and availability the fleet needs to win at a cost we can afford.
Absolutely. Thank you both for joining us today to talk about Naval Sustainment System Cost Pillar, how it is helping us to change the way we do business, and the impact we can all have on cost savings to ensure our warfighters have the capabilities they need to deter, fight, win, and return safely home. Of course, if you would like to hear more about Cost Pillar or other Get Real, Get Better efforts going on around the command, check out the Airwaves podcast on all your favorite listening apps. And that's it for this edition of Airwaves. Thanks for listening.